You can't let me know that it bothers you.
That's true. That's a good point.
If you
in,
go,
in his defense.
If you're silent, then I go on to something else. All right, we'll start with this scene here. We'll worry about that later. Yeah,
that's nice.
I'm rolling. We're ready.
Well, I'm ready. Are we ready?
I don't think we can start until you're ready.
Kick it, brah.
Garage Logic Podcast number 127, March 29, 2019. 83 degrees back in 1996 on this day, and 5 below on this day in 1969.
And now, from the mayor's office, above the boathouse, on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Rookie on production. Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
I have a question.
All right.
You said, why do you do it if you know it bothers me? Is this the first time you've been around, he or I?
Oh, Rookie's singing that Baby Shark song, and I'm going to kill him if he keeps singing it. He said, well, you have to tell me that it doesn't bother you, and then I'll stop.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So what did you do?
I told you it bothered me.
And then?
Then I said, it doesn't bother me, and you stopped.
Yep. Very easy.
You know, I was having a good morning. I'm trying not to let things bother me.
Sure.
You don't fresh have off, to be positive. It's half Thursday.
Fresh off positive Thursday.
Not positive. I don't want to let little things irritate me. Right. And I was going along fine. So I read the Pioneer Press sports pages. You know, Twins had that impressive victory yesterday. Barrios is, if that keeps up, he's an A-plus guy. It's just
Cy Young.
Well, at that rate.
I was at the yard yesterday, and that was a fun day to be at the ballpark.
Yeah, yeah.
It turned out to be.
Well, then, no, I was feeling pretty good. And big sports weekend, you know, Friday.
Yes.
I was trying not to let stuff bother me. And then I read this, the list of Twins walk-up songs.
Oh, God.
Oh. And I lost it. I just thought a number of things. Adrianza,
yep.
Lo Que Yo Diga.
Oh, yeah.
By Elafa Faruco, John Z, and Mike Wood. William Astudillo. Mia Forma de Ser, Mambo version.
Oh, he chose the Mambo version of that one.
Tyler Austin. E.I. The song is called E.I.
I'm not familiar with
by
that.
By Nelly,
one.
And the other one is Taste by Tyga.
Oh, he's got two. Kind of mix it up other at bat.
Yeah, but how did you pronounce Tyga?
Byron Buxton, Return of the Mac.
Yeah.
By Mark Morrison.
I like that song.
Jason Castro, Willy Wonka by Macklemore. Jake Cave, Till I Collapse by Eminem. CJ Cron, That's What I Like, Eminem. He also has another one. The Way I Live by Baby Boy Da Prince.
Oh, okay. How is boy spelled? B-O-I?
B-O-I.
Okay.
Nelson Cruz, Soldado by Juan Luis Guerra.
Okay, man.
Mitch Garver, Shining Star by Earth, Wind, and Fire. The only song on here I recognize. Martin Gonzalez, Dejalo by Nacho Fort Manuel Torizo.
Okay.
Max Kepler, Yosemite by Travis Scott, Jorge Polanco.
What do you like, man?
Te Siento en Prera by Lero Shack Bullen 47 and Kiki Vicky.
Yeah, Te Siento en Prera.
Eddie Rosario.
Eddie.
Queen to Aries by Bad Bunny. Bad Bunny.
Conventionally spelled on the bunny?
I hope they lose 161 games.
No!
I hope they lose 161 games.
He takes that back, folks.
Do you think Joe DiMaggio needed a bleeping walk-up song? Do you think Willie Mays needed a walk-up song? Do you think Ernie Banks needed a walk-up song? Do you think Stan Musial needed a walk-up song? Do you think Mickey Mantle needed a walk-up song?
Hannes Wagner?
You think he needed a walk-up song?
I don't think they had him back then.
What is this? I hope they lose 161 games. They can't lose them all because they won yesterday.
That's right.
That's the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm not a naive. I know. Hell, Mariano Rivera had to have a Metallica song to bring him in, for God's sakes.
Right. Yep.
Motivation.
I share your sentiment. I think walk-up songs are the dumbest thing that's happened to baseball.
Is this every team?
Every team does this.
Who started this BS?
In fact, Joe, Should I get him this wound up?
I don't know.
This is a travesty. The team that I run, the Faribault Lakers.
Don't tell me.
I have offered every one of my players $100 if we can get rid of walk-up songs because I think it's ridiculous.
What's your song, Mayor?
I don't have a walk-up song.
I think you'd be Al Green.
What should we play as you're walking up to the mic here? We're ready to roll on the podcast. I'm tired of being alone. Right, okay. Oh, okay. Well, we got it.
My antiquated thinking.
But this has been going
on
in baseball for years, and I still think it's stupid. And it has nothing to do with, you're old. It has no place in baseball. It's just dumb.
How long do they play?
Humans. 15 seconds, maybe.
That's it?
Yeah.
We have done our best to try to ruin baseball, and it's such a marvelous game that we have failed. We have not ruined it. We're trying, and we're going to keep trying. And there's dreadful changes coming down the road.
Pitch clocks,
and instant replay. We already got that.
Yep. Right.
And then you got walk-up song. We've been trying to kill the game since the designated hitter in about 1973, I think. That was the advent of the designated hitter. We've been trying to kill the game. First, we tried to kill it with night games. That was so novel that people thought, oh, you're trying to kill the game. You're going to play this under lights?
Right.
And we survived that. And we survived the DH. And we survived raising and lowering the mound. And we've survived all kinds of things. And we'll survive walk-up songs. We'll survive it.
What's next is what you're wondering.
What the hell is this?
But walk-up songs have been around for...
Just get your ass up there and hit.
Right. And if you don't, you don't just... If you... I propose this. Maybe if you get on base the next time you come up, walk up. If you are put out,
wait a minute.
You get no walk. Your motivation is to get
ahead. Why don't we have a song to get them from first to second?
I would not even start that.
I need a song to get me from first to second.
Guys like Gogo would need to hear the song.
I'm not leaving the bag till I get my song.
Right.
My stolen bass song.
Right.
You want me to steal? Then play La Cucaracha.
Here, you know what? I caught the ball in the outfield song.
I caught the ball and the ball won.
Honest to God in heaven. Please, dear Lord. Royce had a line yesterday. He was reminiscing about opening day and going with his dad to the first ever opening day at the Met. And back then, the game was a damn art. Now what it is, it's a science. And if I hear this Derek Falvey come on the radio one more time start talking about analytics, I'm going to jump out a window.
No.
I can't take it. Bring back a bunch of fat Robinson brothers to sit up in that pissant suite that Calvin had and make pencil scratchings on a piece of paper.
There you go. I like this guy. I don't like this guy. A gut feeling. Forget the analytics.
I hope they lose 161
games. No, we can't go there. We want to root for these guys to not have walk-up songs.
This show's on a really good roll with the Twins this week. Rook bitching about not being able to go to the food.
Our press passes are... Chances are dwindling. 162-0.
Why am I like that? No, I'm serious. A lot of people read that today in the sports pages in the Pioneer Press. Who wrote the damn?
I'm telling you right now, that's why it upset you, because you saw it in print. It's bad enough that they're doing it and you don't know about it, but the fact that somebody had...
I know there are walk-up songs. I've been to baseball games.
No, but what I'm saying, what bothered you is the fact that
it became
they had
a story.
To put that in print. That's what bothered you.
No, not really.
Oh, really?
Not really.
No?
What bothers me is that the players expect this. No, get up there and hit you.
What happened to da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Well, I know that there are some guys, because some guys that play baseball feel this same way, and they say I don't need one. So then one is selected on their behalf in some cases, because I've heard players like that. Whether we've had guys on at Twins Fest or whatever saying that they also think it's stupid.
We are doing everything humanly possible to prevent you from enjoying baseball. Every single thing. We got to have 25 new expensive food items, 25 new beers. We got 25 new songs. We got, somebody's going to run around with a T-shirt gun and shoot a shirt at your face.
Home run derbies by local media celebrities before the game.
Right. I mean, all that's fun.
Case in point, I was at the game with four friends. yesterday.
Did Kirby Puckett have a wake-up song?
I'm doing some research
right now. Walk-up
song,
whatever it is.
When we I got inside the ballpark in the top of the second inning.
When was this?
Yesterday.
Okay. Game, by the way.
Yeah, and it went by very quickly. We were sitting in one of the establishments inside the ballpark.
Sure.
When one of the
What's the point of being there?
When one of the people...
In other words, you went there, but you didn't see the game.
When one of the people in our group said, who are the Twins playing?
Isn't that
in
something?
In about the sixth inning.
She
said,
I have a serious question. Pat and I were season ticket holders the first 5 years. Yep. Yeah. Just like I did for the Wild. You got to put your money where your mouth is.
Yep.
All right. And there were nice seats. If you said the area...
You guys had...
club level.
No, what's that... above
Legends.
Legends Club. Yep. And I had to have an aisle seat and all that, and we had a little shade over us, and it was really nice seats. We had four. But even there, there was a constant hectoring of vendors and whatever. So I have a serious question. Where's the best place to sit in that ballpark if you really want to intently watch the game? Where's the best place? I'm not kidding. Champions Club?
I
can't afford that.
Those are pretty spendy. Well, are you talking opening day or any game of the year?
Anytime you want to go to a Twins game, quite serious question. It's a beautiful ballpark. I love it. And I love the fact that they're back outside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where do you sit? Where is the best place to sit to A, be able to intently watch the game, and B, be the least bothered by vendors?
I would say... if you're in the lower deck, if you're near the heavy concession area, you will. Well, that's not true because the
I'm thinking first and third base, not right there, but before you get to the foul lines, first and third base.
Here was my favorite spot.
I don't want to be way down on the foul pole.
No, I'm saying between the actual base and the outfield.
All right. Favorite spot when we were still on 1500, when we had the Twins, we had four seats next to the bullpen in left center field that were third row, something
who
like
did?
That.
The
station did. And I had the chance
That's
to...
That's the outfield.
I had the chance to sit there a couple times. I liked it personally because I love the BS that goes on with the guys in the bullpen.
Right.
So that, to me, was my favorite spot to sit at Target Field.
To answer your question...
Of course, I also didn't pay for the tickets, but...
Kirby Puckett, Sledgehammer by
Sledgehammer.
Peter Gabriel.
Okay,
Wade
at least
Boggs,
I know this.
Addicted to Love.
So how far back does this pathetic thing go?
This is in the 90s.
Yeah, well, it didn't go back to Willie Mays.
No, it did not. It
didn't go back to Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, Ryan Sandberg, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go by Wham.
Well, he should be in prison. He should be in prison.
Tony Gwynn, The Locomotion. Oh, by Kylie Minogue.
No, he should be in prison.
That's not good. Push It, Salt and Pepper. That's Benito Santiago. Ozzie Smith, Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson.
Janet Jackson. He should be embarrassed.
Oral Hershiser, Never Gonna Give You Up, Rick Astley. And The Eck, Take Me Home Tonight by Eddie Money.
Eck.
The most dominant.
The guy I've had a man crush on all my life. You're going to take an Eddie Money song?
Yes.
Eddie Money, a former New York cop who can't sing?
Oh, Take Me Home Tonight. That is from InsideSTL.com.
I didn't mean to stay on this so long. I hope they lose 161 games.
No.
I hope your eardrums get punctured by listening to this crap that you got to play so you could go up and hit and then take 4 minutes to adjust your batting gloves.
I have a question then, because I always thought, correct me if I'm wrong, that you liked when Mariano Rivera came in to enter Sandman.
Well, I just
was that because it was a one-time thing?
I just love that song.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
It's the drum intro, isn't it?
Well, it's the whole song is pretty good.
Let me just calm you down here with the nice little
that?
Nice
okay.
little boathouse where you can park your Chris Craft kick back on that upper deck and have a nice cocktail.
Say, I want you to get in touch with the guys at Federated, guys and gals. They're the best in the business. It's Owatonna, Minnesota's own Federated Mutual Insurance Company, tailoring the insurance program to your individual business. property and casualty, life, disability. Sure, they got it all, but they also take care of you. If you're driving, they'll talk to you about auto liability and data compromise coverage. Look at the headlines. You're going to need data compromise coverage. The marketing representatives at Federated get to know you, the business owner, and how your business operates, and that allows them to customize the coverage you need. Your business is unique. You need an insurance carrier who treats it that way. Get in touch with a Federated Insurance marketing representative to see how their second-to-none service can help your business thrive, because at Federated, it's their business to protect yours.
Many hats, just not indoors. Joe Soucheray.
Two examples of people losing touch with nature. They're not necessarily funny. A tourist from Hong Kong died after he fell about 1,000 feet into the Grand Canyon while doing what?
Taking a selfie.
Trying to take a photo.
And this one was the one on the bridge that goes out and around. Which,
I have no idea where it
was. It's a bump out, and you'd really have to work hard to fall off this thing.
50-year-old guy.
He was a 50-year-old guy?
Yep. 50-year-old guy. Fell off the Grand Canyon.
Taking a picture.
Western Minnesota sheriff's deputies rescue motorists who drove into flooded waters. A driver who ignored a road closed sign and drove through rushing floodwaters touched off a life-saving rescue Thursday in Lacquaparl County. Deputies from Lacquaparl County Sheriff's Office donned cold water rescue suits and used an inflatable raft to retrieve the male driver and his female passenger after their vehicle was swept off a country road and pushed into a farm field. With water rising fast, deputies rushed to the scene in Garfield Township just before 4 p.m. and found the man standing on the top of the car and a woman sitting on the door. Deputies, with the help of the Madison Fire Department and Madison Ambulance crew, were able to pull the motorist to safety. Everyone involved in the rescue did an excellent job of helping keep a bad situation from getting worse. The sheriff's office said in a statement, "This is a good reminder that if there is water going over a roadway, please don't drive through it. It is illegal in Minnesota to drive around barricades and signs indicating a road is closed. Violators can face a fine of up to $1,000 or 90 days in jail. Give this moron 90 days in jail.
Yep.
Or make him pay for the rescue. The rescue costs way more than $1,000.
Right.
This is ridiculous.
Be smart around the water. Okay, go ahead and finish.
It was not immediately clear if the driver would be fined or forced to pay the cost. Or forced to pay the cost for the rescue. By all means, he should be forced to pay for the rescue.
No question. Because not only are you putting yourself, your passenger, in harm's way, now you're making all of these people that are trying to help you, you're putting them in danger as well.
6 inches of water will reach the bottom of most cars, MnDOT said. A foot of water will float many cars, MnDOT said. 2 feet of rushing water can carry away most vehicles, including SUVs and pickups.
Which are higher up.
Now, is that an example of man losing his relationship with nature, or is that just an idiot?
That's just pure stupidity.
There's very little distinction.
That's true.
Very little distinction between losing your relationship with nature and being a complete moron.
You can't get away from the coverage of flooding in this state.
Nope.
It's everywhere, so you know that it's an issue. Why you would think that, I could just go around this sign, I'll be fine.
I do think we continue to be lucky in terms of the nature cooperating with these really, really comfortable temperatures to prevent. I mean, if we had 375 days, degree days in a row, we'd probably be in a worse trouble than we're in.
Right.
But the Mississippi... I went over the high bridge yesterday just to look at the river. It's up there, but it's not 1965 levels yet.
Yesterday, I drove down to Faribault from my house, and I drove through Shakopee, where a lot of those roads are closed. And on 101, the river's right up to the high bridge.
This is nothing new.
Nope.
I have two stories that
Well, now the gentleman up in, you remember the Brainerd story about the guy that was going to the boat show and went around the road closed sign? But I don't think there was water involved with that. I don't believe he had to pay for the rescue attempt. I think sand is okay, right? Because I think they figured...
Boy, you just nailed
your
that.
Car.
You just nailed
your
me.
Car is so far in the sand that it's okay. But if it's not water, you're all right.
You know what? I stand guilty.
No. Okay, but I'm making a distinction.
I would hope that I would not have been stupid enough to drive around it had it been a flood situation.
That's why I'm making this point, because you would not. You would have respected the water.
Remember I told you I saw the car way up ahead and thinking, well, he made it.
He got through. Yeah.
But wait,
good.
Did the sign that you drove around, did it say just road closed or due to, what did it say?
Road closed.
That's it.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
So I committed a
90-day. What is it? 90. Hey, Aiken, sheriff, come on in.
Hey, the guy right out. Hey, the guy out in Lacaparl County. Never mind what I said.
No, because there's a distinction. That was water related.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Lacaparl. What does that mean?
I don't
the
know.
Lake that speaks.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
By the way, when you said he should pay for it, I think he did.
Yeah. You know what? You're off the hook because. Mentally, you were a wreck for, I don't know, only about 4 months, I think.
Until I got the car to the dealership. They said, you did what?
Yes. I think you paid for it, so you're off the hook. You have a clean slate.
You know, they saw me coming, too, and that speaks to their honesty. Because they thought, look at this idiot.
What's rattling
here? We could tell him anything. He's going to buy it.
And as he drove in, and the spokes, you could hear the sand. And
what I kept thinking. I couldn't even drive. I was so keen on listening for grinding. And
God.
A thing happened. It was
like
perfect.
A beach in Malibu.
It was perfect.
Like audio manna from heaven some days. You know that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Two stories. I'll ask you a quiz question following them.
Okay.
A century ago, a strain of pandemic flu killed up to 100 million people, 5% of the world's population.
Okay.
In 2013, a new mystery illness swept the western coast of North America, causing starfish to disintegrate. In 2015, a big-nosed Asian antelope known as the Sega lost two-thirds of its population, some 200,000 individuals, to what now looks to be a bacterial infection. But none of these devastating infections comes close to the destructive power of BD, a singularly apocalyptic fungus that's unrivaled in its ability not only to kill animals, but to delete entire species from existence. BD, Botrachobacterium dendrobatitis.
Wow.
Kills frogs and other amphibians by eating their skin and triggering heart attacks. It's often said that the fungus has caused the decline or extinction of 200 amphibian species, but that figure is almost two decades out of date. New figures compiled by a team led by Ben Scheel from the Australian National University are much worse. Scheel's team estimates that the fungus has caused the decline of 501 amphibian species, or about 6.5% of the known total. Of these, 90 have been wiped out entirely. Another 124 have fallen by more than 90%, and their odds of recovery are slim. Never in recorded history has a single disease burned down so much of the tree of life. It rewrote our understanding of what disease could do to wildlife, Scheel says. It's a terrifying summary, says Jody Rowley from the Australian Museum. We knew it was bad, but this really confirms how bad, and these are just the declines we know about. The scale of these losses can be hard to appreciate. Let me just verify something here.
I can't imagine what the quiz would be.
For my quiz question.
A lot of numbers.
Okay.
I think I kind of know. I think I know what you're going to ask.
In the 70s and 80s, amphibian experts began sharing ominous anecdotes about once plentiful populations that had mysteriously disappeared. Streams once full of eggs were clear. Nights once resonant with rabbits were silent. Nothing about the habitats had changed, save for their sudden, inexplicable froglessness. No one knew what the problem was, let alone the culprit. It was more than a search for a needle in a haystack. We were still debating the existence of the haystack, the researchers said. It's the first BD is the perfect frog killer. It kills with gusto and without fuss. Isn't that terrible?
It is.
Because I'm a big frog guy.
Yeah, I like frogs. Frogs are fun to watch and observe.
I'm just double-checking something here. Double-checking.
All right, so you're leading up to a couple of questions on the piece that you just rode through.
Mm-hmm.
We're losing frogs left and right.
It's a bad deal. It's a bad...
Okay.
It's a bad deal.
How do we, and we don't get
the
rid of
the pace of decline has eased. That's the good news. There's no obvious way to deal with this. Some researchers have set up captive breeding programs to buy time for species in contaminated habitats. Others are looking at ways of manipulating the fungus or breeding more tolerant frogs or pairing the frogs with defensive bacteria or relocating frogs to sites that are inhospitable to the fungus. None of these solutions is a silver bullet. Second story.
Okay.
A disease, also a fungus, called white nose syndrome.
So we got BD and now we got white nose.
Well, it's, and I'm very partial to bats. I've become a big fan of bats.
You have a history with bats.
I have a history with bats. I've learned a lot about them because they were living in my house, living in my
eaves,
soffits,
yeah,
outside.
Soffits, okay.
There's light fixtures and they were up there. They would get in there. And my initial reaction was, oh, this is dreadful. I hate bats. They're horrible. And the guy who came out was just so gentle and so instructive. He just handled that like a newborn. He got it out of there and he cradled it in his hand.
With a glove on, right?
Yeah, and but then he took it and released it because bats are terribly important. Terribly important.
We
and for
need
no
them.
Other reason, they eat mosquitoes.
Right, right.
Okay, so, but we're losing bats. In Minnesota, Minnesota's bat population has continued a sharp decline from the effects of white nose syndrome, a fungal disease usually fatal to hibernating bats. The fungus that causes white nose syndrome first showed up in Minnesota at the Sudan Underground Mine State Park in 2013. Bats started showing signs of the disease a couple of years later. It has since spread to other caves in the state, including Mystery Cave in southeastern Minnesota. The disease began killing bats in northeastern United States more than a decade ago and has since moved across the country, decimating bat populations. This is dreadful. Bats have a voracious appetite for insects and are known to reduce mosquito populations and the populations of some agricultural crop pests. Some of those insect populations might increase because of the dramatic decline in bats. Researchers, including some in Minnesota, have been looking for ways to slow the spread of the fungus that causes the disease or to treat bats that have been exposed. In eastern states, it appears a few bats survived the disease to slowly rebuild populations. It's going to take many, many years, assuming that all the female bats have young every year, for it to come back to any kind of sizable numbers. It won't happen in my lifetime, said the researcher. It's going to take generations. What do these I suppose it's almost a ray of hope, but I'm giving it away when I tell you ray of hope. What do these two stories have in common?
They both have in common that at least we're aware of what's killing these. It's not man-made. This disease
you're getting closer
is not man-made. We cannot blame the climate for being...
Nature will correct itself.
Well, not only that, but in both cases, climate change wasn't blamed.
Yeah.
Well, for obvious reasons. There's nothing to blame on the climate.
So you could even extend that to species that are now extinct, which obviously there have been species that have been going extinct for millions of years.
Sure, they come and go in cyclical fashion. But the point is, you know, how old is that BD virus? That might be a million years old. We
right.
don't know.
Right.
We don't know what causes it to flare up and attack frog populations. We don't know anything when it comes to the long-term dynamics of how nature works. I don't know why a bat's developed white nose syndrome. It's a fungus.
Where was that piece from? Do you remember?
Which piece?
The one you just read from?
It was an off NPR site, but it's on a variety of news sites.
Okay, I wonder how...
Maybe that's even more of a ray of hope that somebody at NPR
yes.
didn't plug in climate
that's
change.
That's what I'm saying. How did they resist not even a shot due to climate changes? BD is on its way
because
back
it's
up.
Become almost comical the way we find that inserted to every... Remember, that's an industry where you can't be wrong. You're wrong no matter what happens. I mean, you're right no matter what happens. They could have thrown climate change in both the BD frog story and the bat story, and no one would have blinked an eye.
That's what I'm saying. You're right. This is a true ray of hope. This
but there's some decent reporting in both those stories, and the fact is that, you know, white nose syndrome for the bats. Maybe that's been around in caves for a million years, but then maybe, well, I'm way above my pay grade here. But something triggers it, and it becomes contagious. Something kicks it off.
Here's today's ray of hope.
No sense. That's got to be a ray of hope.
And I...
Or we've pushed back enough where You know what? This slipped out.
I don't think the people writing those stories listen to us. But my point is, these are the ripple effects that go throughout nature. And here's two that I'm concerned, but I'm not going to sit here and say it's because I drive a car.
Right.
I'm pro bat, and I love animals. I'm pro bat, and I'm pro frog. I can do without. I'm still trying to figure out why we need ticks.
Do bats eat ticks, too?
I bet they do.
Wasn't that the cause of a great Royce tirade? The tick hasn't evolved
much. The tick doesn't have any ambition. I said, Pat, did you see this? It was amazing. I remember telling you guys. What's it called? Amethyst? A stone. And then inside one of these, a million years old or something, was a tick. And it looked no different than today's tick. And I thought, how could that be? And for some reason, I felt compelled to share that with Patrick, who will be with us today, by the way.
Okay, good.
I felt compelled to share that with Patrick. He says, apparently they have no ambition.
They never updated
themselves.
Hey, this looks like a good rock. I'm going to hang out here for about 5 million years. I'm going to miss the Twins game. I'm going to miss the opener.
Hey, he said they had no marketing. There's nothing. They had no reason to improve themselves.
Apparently they have zero ambition.
They had no ambition. Other things have evolved, not ticks.
Nope.
No ambition.
We like being the same.
You guys need some new eyes or anything? No, we're good.
I'm not changing a thing. We're happy.
Down by the woods.
Ambition.
That was his first response. Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, they have no ambition. Okay, that's one hell of a way to look at it, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
One hell of a way to look at it. Say, look at me. I want to remind people that you know perfectly well. Just going outside now, you can taste it. You can taste spring in the air. The motorcycle season is upon us. I know some guys are already riding. I hope you're getting in touch with DennisKirk.com. Even if your bike is garage art, towards the end of my biking life, my bikes were garage art, but you can doll them up. Go to the DennisKirk.com website, a great website. They have more than 160,000 products in stock for you and your bike, apparel, helmets, parts, tires, you name it. It doesn't matter. Whether you ride a Harley, a cruiser, or a sport bike, they have it. And if you're in a hurry for something, place an order by 8 o'clock today and you'll get it tomorrow. Now, that's hard to believe, but that's the way DennisKirk.com does business. DennisKirk.com, order today and get it tomorrow. You guys want to know the secret to a long life?
Yep.
Ambition.
That's, well.
Yeah. Existence.
The ticks have gotten along without it, and they've had a long life. Newspapers, especially the British tabloids, cannot resist attending the birthday of everybody who turns 100 and turning it into a big story. Yep. And then inevitably, you learn that the guy either had a shot of whiskey every day.
Bacon.
He ate bacon, or he smoked his corn cob pipe out on the porch. And, it's a roll of the dice how long you live, basically. You can do certain things. Don't smoke, probably. That's chief right there. Okay. But they always do it. Well, here's a guy in England who turned 111. Of course, his name is Bob Wheaton. He's got 3 kids, 10 grandkids, and 25 great-grandkids. He's 111.
Yep.
And he told the Queen, I don't want any carts. I don't know why the public should pay for that.
Okay.
I don't want a fuss. Just leave me alone, Queen.
Right? He's got his wits about him.
Because I'm sure that's part of the Queen business. You got to send the cards to the people who turn 100.
Yep. You call Donald Jackson the calligrapher. He does up a card.
This guy still goes to the grocery store, does his own shopping, does his own cooking. Well, he lives in a community where he can walk to a corner store or whatever. His name is Bob Wheaton. Well, they finally got around to asking him. Well, Bob, what's the...
Timing.
As he As he celebrates his 111th birthday today, Britain's oldest man has revealed the trick to living such a long life. Huh. You know what his answer was?
Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
What?
I don't know. I'm hoping it's something I'm involved in. Yeah, right.
Well, we all are involved.
Yes.
In it. Yeah. Avoid dying, he said.
All right. Okay. He's a smartass, too.
Avoid dying. Yeah, that's it. He had no other...
What's the secret to your longevity?
Avoid dying. He had no other tips. He had nothing about alcohol, nothing about food, nothing about exercise.
Wow.
Did the reporter pry a little bit and say, what is your normal dietary routine?
Well, I might have that. We'll see here. We might see that.
111. Avoid dying.
He's
how do you argue with that?
He's celebrating the birthday, surrounded by his friends at his retirement flat in Alton, Hampshire.
Yes,
Hampshire. Yes,
he doesn't want people gushing over him.
Don't gush. No gushing.
In fact, he shuns attention so much that he even asked the Queen not to bother sending him a card in the future to save the taxpayer money. He was born in 1908, March 29, 1908. I do not like the attention, he said. I quite like meeting people I have never seen before. That's one of my delights. I like meeting people who have been places and have some understanding of what it means to be a human. Hmm. He doesn't think life has changed much between humans. He thinks just technology has changed, the speed of communication, the speed of travel. But he said the relationships between people, he thinks, are the same as they were 100 years ago. See if I can find you something about his food. The basic concerns of human beings of meeting and interacting with other human beings is exactly the same as it's always been. Can this person be trusted? He said.
Okay.
He said, regarding changes in the world in practical terms, one thing is the speed of travel. In 1933, I traveled to the Far East on a boat to Hong Kong, and it took 6 weeks.
Wow.
Now you can fly there in about 8 or 9 hours. Speed of communications. He weighed in on that. He doesn't want a mobile phone because he can just as easily phone someone without one.
Does he have that big cheerleader horn as a hearing aid that he's resistant?
No, he's sharp as a tack.
How would any one of us, do you think, take a 6-week boat ride to get over to Hong Kong?
No.
Who am I not going with? I'm pointing at him.
I'd be
right
a bad
now.
Waiter.
Oh, I'm pointing God. At my guy. I'm not going
Are
to
we
Hong
there
Kong
yet?
Yes. It's only been 2 weeks. Right, one day into it.
He was an engineer, and he still has a workshop in his flat where he makes windmills and ornaments from recycled wood. He still shops and cooks for himself and regularly goes to the local supermarket using his walking aid, for which he has had a new number plate, Bob 111, created to mark his birthday.
He might live to be 125.
Mm-hmm. Promoting human interaction is the motive of my life, he said. But there's your key. If anybody wants to know the key to a long life, you just summon up old Bob there from England.
What do you avoid again?
You avoid death.
That's easy.
That reminds me of a great Clint Eastwood story. What? Did I tell you guys that story?
No.
Who am I thinking of? Oh, shoot. Some famous country music.
Oh, Toby Keith.
Was it Toby Keith?
Yes.
Did I tell you guys this story?
You told me this off the air.
Toby Keith, for some reason, was hanging out with Clint Eastwood and talking to him. And Clint said, tomorrow's going to be my 89th birthday. And Toby said, well, how do you do it? And Clint Eastwood had a great answer.
What did he say?
Oh, no.
Avoid dying.
Toby Keith said, what are you going to do? And he says, I'm going to make a movie, which I think was The Mule, the movie. Mm. And Toby Keith just shook his head and said, you're 89. How do you do it? And Clint said, every morning when I get up, I don't let the old man in. Isn't that a great line?
That's a great line.
Wow.
And that became a song. I believe it's probably part of the soundtrack of The Mule. Every day I get up and I don't let the old man in.
Wow.
Isn't okay. that neat?
That Every day neat. I get up and I try to get rid of the old man.
Every day you get up, you got to take the old man
right,
someplace.
Like, hey, where are you going? Let's go here.
All right, we'll be back in a bit, GLers.
A beautiful lawn is just a click away at ProfessionalTurf.com. Log on, fire up that phone, schedule a free in-person, no-obligation lawn care estimate right now at ProfessionalTurf.com. You do that, a seasoned lawn care vet's going to come to your house, analyze your situation, then come up with a 3-to-5-step fertilizer and weed control program that's not only environmentally safe, but also absolutely guaranteed for superior results. You will have the best lawn on the block. Do it now, ProfessionalTurf.com.
Hey, folks, John Madden here, and you're listening to Garage Logic. I mean, the mayor, he's the guy that runs that thing. I mean, he's the guy that takes care of all that stuff the mayors do. Fireworks, starting up stuff, cylinders, you know, he's Joe Soustre. I mean, the mayor!
Seattle bus driver is shot but gets riders to safety.
Wow.
That's a bussy.
All stories from Seattle are now going to capture my attention because of the extraordinary documentary called Seattle is Dying. When we all learned, or at least I did, that homeless homelessness is not really homelessness. It's a drug addiction problem. It's a drug addiction problem. In fact, I got an email. Shoot, where is it? Hey, new Holcomb cartoon today, by the way.
Yeah, go to GarageLogic.com, click on the features menu, and select it. It's the mayor-inspired cartoon this week.
Really?
Well, he's playing off my bit where if there's a disaster, get out of my way. I'm going to be the first one out of here.
Oh, you know? Okay, yeah. So it's very accurate.
Pushing babies, women.
Yes, yes. Got away, lady.
You know what he did? He emailed me a video clip from a Seinfeld episode in which George did just that.
I remember that.
Hilarious.
The mayor is
I
the
have
inspiration.
To watch Rookie's reaction to when he finally sees this.
The only illustrated podcast in America.
Oh, he's so good.
Okay, Ryan writes, he linked me to a recent video about the homeless problem in San Francisco. Social workers are saying, nope, drugs are the problem. It's not often you hear a social worker in San Francisco confirm it's drugs that are the real problem.
Okay, this is a breakthrough, isn't it?
I saw that email. I will only disagree with Ryan on one thing. Mm. Social workers are the ones who will point that out.
All right. Well,
I'm a relative of one.
Yeah, but you're not a relative of one in Euro Frisco.
That's true. Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Bus driver Eric Stark was hit in the torso by a bullet, but authorities have said still managed to turn the bus around and drive his passengers to safety. The gunman was walking in a neighborhood. He killed two men. He's just walking down the street firing. I won't dwell on the story, but. We never heard back from our people in Seattle.
Correct.
I would love to know if this was a so-called homeless person.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I would love to know that. I have no... there's.
If he was in the encampment of the homelessness and so forth?
Once the bus got away, this guy just killed a guy, took his car, ran into another car, killed that guy. I wonder if they'll arrest him in Seattle.
Well, if he has under 3 ounces of methamphetamine, no, they won't.
33-year-old suspect was arrested after a brief standoff. I wonder if he's back on the street yet in Seattle.
God almighty.
We need to know more about that.
All right. Where is the story?
Where is it? Here it is.
What? Are you going to bring us down? It's Friday.
Oh, I'm going to play some video for you. Or audio for you.
Okay.
Audio for you.
Okay.
Campus Reform does a great job in helping us understand the failed academy.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to Florida International University in Miami, and they asked kids if they favored socialism or capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And invariably, the students all weighed in on behalf of socialism. They liked the idea of all that free stuff.
Right.
And then the fellow for campus reform, Cabot Phillips, he said, well, let's apply that to your grade point average, GPAs. Shouldn't those students with high GPAs share some of those GPAs with students with lower performing GPAs? And invariably, all the students said no. So they're all hypocrites. So let's play the audio.
I'm Kevin Phillips with Campus Reform. Today we're at Florida International University talking to students about their opinions of socialism and if they'd support a socialist GPA policy. Would they be willing to share their high GPA with people that have a low GPA? After all, it's all about equality.
Which would you rather have in America, socialism or capitalism?
I would say socialism.
How do you view the word socialism, favorably or unfavorably?
I guess I would go with favorably.
Like, I have family in Europe. They go to college for free. Their healthcare is paid for. They don't have to worry about it at all.
I favor that over capitalism.
Okay, got it.
I also think I favor that, like, socialism over capitalism.
Socialism is more geared toward, like, helping the people in your... You know, the governed.
I'd rather people have that same opportunity. There's a lot of excess in America.
The main idea of socialism being that people at the top are doing their fair share to help people at the bottom, trying to prevent disparity of income and trying to prevent excess, as you called it. So on campus, if there's a GPA disparity where there's people at the bottom with a poor GPA, mm-hmm. would you support a policy where people at the top spread the wealth and give that GPA to people at the bottom?
Give? Like, help them get a better GPA?
Yeah.
I'm all for helping. I wouldn't give, like, oh, let me just give you some of my points.
But it's about being fair, right? We got to help people at the bottom?
I've lost a lot of sleep, so I don't know if I will be fair.
It's hard. If I guess...
Can you stop it?
It would be kind of, like, hypocritical for me to say.
The same people that said they prefer socialism, mm-hmm. he's These are the same people that he's asking about the GPA.
The exact same
people. And there's no trickery in this. I watched the whole video. It's pretty straightforward. But the same kids you're hearing who liked socialism, and then he goes back and he asks those same people the GPA stuff.
I know. That's completely different.
How is it different?
Because I'm, like, studying all day for my grade.
What do you mean by sharing it? Like, literally, like, giving them a chunk of my GPA?
Yep.
I would want to say no, straight up.
But what's the difference between earning a high GPA and not wanting to give it away, but then earning a lot of money and also not wanting to give that away?
Well, I feel like the difference is that you study for your grades, right? And grades often reflect how much time you spend studying. But
you gotta work pretty hard to become a millionaire.
I mean, I'm not denying that fact either, but for the regular working person, you know.
Do you think there's a similarity between earning your salary and maybe not wanting to give it away to people that aren't working to earn it? And same thing with the GPA, where you earn it and you say, well, I don't necessarily want to give it to anyone who might not be working for it.
Right. I think it's just that whole sense of thinking that no one's going to work for it.
I mean, I sacrifice a lot to get my GPA. You know, I don't go out as much as I'd like to, but that's for something like a greater goal in the future, the way I see it. So, no, I wouldn't sacrifice my own things, like sacrifice my own time to help somebody else who didn't want to make those same sacrifices.
There's some people who are in the bottom, but they really are working, and there's some people who are in the bottom, and they deserve that poor GPA.
Kind of like people making money with their income?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people. Let's not throw shade.
But isn't it about helping the less fortunate?
You're basically profiting off of my work for you. So who's really the bad guy here?
I don't think that'd be a good idea, because then you're taking away from people that earned that grade. And what about the ones that aren't really working hard for their grades? Mm-hmm. So they're just going to get something they don't really deserve.
Got it. And do you think it's similar with your salary?
Yeah, I definitely do.
No, that's the complete opposite of meritocracy. The complete opposite. That's like awful.
I don't think they're comparable, because your GPA is not directly linked to, like, your quality of life, necessarily.
God. But you still have to earn it the same way you'd have to earn a salary, right?
Well, I don't think most rich people in this country necessarily earn it. Much of that money is inherited. Much of that money, you know, is made from the stock market, which isn't... They're not actually working for that. They're pressing a button behind a computer for that. I mean...
Wow. Well, I mean, then there will be no point to having a GPA, because then if everyone has the same, then there's no metric, right?
But it's all about fairness, right?
Well, like, is it fair? Like, I look at it this way, right? Is it fair for everyone to have the same outcome or to have the same opportunity, right? For me, having the same opportunity is what is fair, right? Not the same outcome, right? Because if I work harder than you and I get a better result, then it is only fair that I get a better grade or I get a better opportunity than you, right?
I'm Cabot Phillips with Campus Reform. Thanks so much for watching.
Okay. Welcome to America.
Our future.
I guarantee you that Campus Reform could go to any campus in the country.
And find that exact same thing.
And find pretty much the same responses.
By the way, I counted. Mm-hmm. That video we played just shy of 3 minutes. I've got 13 likes and 7 different I think in there.
Wow. Well, they answered their own question. They're asked if they prefer socialism over capitalism, and they go, yes, because they've been all their products of a failed academy.
And that's the thing now is socialism.
Okay, you like that idea, huh? Yeah, well, yeah, socialism. Yeah. I got people and relatives in Europe. Everything's free. Okay, what about your GPA? You have a 4.0 GPA, and another guy in your dorm probably has a 1.9.
Blutarsky.
Blutarsky has a 1.9 GPA.
Well, he does is party.
Why don't you share that with him? Well, no, I this is where I work. Well, you just answered the question, you dumb kids.
But how many of those do you think actually have a high GPA? Because I'm going to guess they don't. You can't possibly be that stupid.
At Florida International?
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
You know, we aren't talking Stanford here.
Go Owls. How many of those kids had their parents pay for them to get into Florida International?
I think Florida International would pay you.
That's true.
Yeah, come on in.
Ovaltine rapper.
The door's open.
That's where we got Richie.
Who's Richie?
Richie Pitino. He coached at Florida International University.
Our guy right here?
Mm-hmm.
Really? That's right.
Yeah. I didn't remember that.
But, wow.
You know, I see these videos all the time. Because I'm a big fan of studying the failed academy.
And Campus Reform does a good job.
They do a great job. And And I rarely play them because they're all so dispiriting. Yeah. But with socialism so much in the news now, I thought, well, let's play this one. And it's just predictable what these kids would say.
Who have been through the indoctrination over the years.
You know, they're all of a mind of do as I say, not as I do.
They do not want to give up their GPAs.
No.
I'm at 4 right now.
They'll be glad to take your money, but they're not going to be glad to give you any of their GPA.
Because they worked hard for it.
Sure.
And it has value.
Didn't you work hard for your money?
Hell yeah. Uh-huh.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it
about.
Has value.
Mm-hmm. AOC, in my positivity test yesterday, you played an AOC.
Yeah, she was
audio responding to her defeat, yes, of the Green New Deal.
Yes.
And frequent emailer Tom Wilson said, AOC said science is not a partisan issue. Climate change is a partisan issue. Therefore, climate change is not science. I guess she has a point. Joe, you guys missed something significant in the clip Reavers played from Occasional Cortex. She said she only had health insurance for the last year. Wasn't having health insurance mandated by Obamacare? Another example of the left playing do as I say, not as I do. Love the podcast, Rich in Duluth. And here's Scott says, well, here's how to respond to the 90-second bit from yesterday's playing of the Occasional Cortex audio. Mm-hmm. I'll have 2 hard shell tacos, 1 bean and beef burrito, and a Coke. Boom. It's a boom. It's a boom. And then the turkeys. Remember the guy, this is from Tyler in Moorhead. Mm-hmm. When I heard you guys talking about the turkey hunter story on the March 27 show, it stuck out for me in that the story mentioned turkeys being scarce or something to that effect. Now, what the hunter in Alabama shot was a white turkey. Apparently they're rare, right?
Okay. I did not know a white turkey is rare.
Well, my point, and Kelsey had a great point, too. This guy says the turkeys aren't rare. They're all over the urban areas. Tyler is telling us, yes, that's true. It's true in St. Paul. Hell, there's certain mail routes in St. Paul where the mail carriers can't get to the house because of the turkeys.
Right, because they're very, very aggressive around those
but
ladies.
But Kelsey said that Hunter should hire the attorney who's representing the Covington kids.
Yep.
And then sue the hell out of Olbermann. Keith Olbermann, who started a Twitter campaign to make mm-hmm. that kid's life hell. Why don't we do that when we come back?
Perfect.
All right. Patrick joining us. Hey, Pat.
Yes, Joe.
I got a question for you.
I got a question for you. Do you know why turkeys and geese are overrunning the Twin Cities?
No.
Because they have no mortality rate. Mm-hmm. You see a little mother duck walking across the street with mm-hmm. those little tiny ducks.
Mm-hmm.
About 8 of them, there's going to be about 1 that lives if it's lucky. You see a mother goose walking across the road with 11 of those monsters. They're all going to live and be crapping like for the rest of their lives, just like the turkeys.
Ew.
They're too damn big. There's no mortality rate.
All right. That's a good point. In other words, a fox probably won't even go after a turkey.
No, the turkeys will beat the hell out of a fox. Right. They don't want anything to do with them, man.
Here was my question to you.
Yes.
Because I've been asked this. The CP, by the way, Pat, picked, has 15 of the 16 teams in the Sweet 16.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. Holy cow. And that leads to my question. You and I both remember when this tournament was 6 paragraphs on page 8.
Oh, yes. It's
right?
Unbelievable.
So, okay. Yes. What has happened to the point where the CP, who does not know a basketball from a street lamp, is leading a giant field of her friends and family in a basket. What happened to this tournament?
Well,
what happened?
At its core, it's ESPN.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and we're now 40 years into it, but ESPN popped up with a 24-hour sports station. They had nothing to put on it. They went to college basketball, which had an endless number of games.
Mm-hmm.
They hired this goofy Vitale, who basically got fired at Detroit University because he was such a nut job.
Right.
And they put him on. And then, because of ESPN and the chance to get TV exposure, Dave Gavitt, who used to be the coach at Providence, formed the Big East. He put together the Big East. You, Joe, you and I, those were just a bunch of slappy teams out east.
Mm-hmm.
They had no conference, St. John, Seton Hall,
right.
Georgetown.
Right.
And they put those all together in the big eastern markets. And the Big East by 80, what year did Villanova beat Georgetown? 84, 85. They had three of the four teams in the Final Four, and it just and then now it's programming. And then they came up with, you know, when the Gophers won the Big Ten in 82, I think it was still only a 32-team tournament or something, and they just kept expanding and expanding. And there are now 360 Division I college basketball teams. There used to be about 150, 40 years ago, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And I think it's forced upon us. I don't know. When I was a kid, the big thing in Minnesota was to fill out the 8-team state high school basketball
right.
tournament bracket,
right.
clip it out of the Minneapolis or St. Paul papers, and everybody throw in a buck.
Right.
Now you got 68 teams to
right.
Pick from. So.
In 1985, Villanova did beat Georgetown. Do you want to know what day that was?
I don't.
April 1st.
Well, it's no different this year, really.
Not a lot. Yeah, that one hasn't...
We start April
1st. But we still got, how many weeks?
Look, I go back, the first NCAA tournament I covered was when Reagan got shot. When was that?
That was in the 80s.
81. You know, Philadelphia. It was, we
you were in
Philadelphia. And Indiana was playing, was it North Carolina in the final? And Ronnie got shot, and we spent all day waiting to see if we were going to play the game or not. And when they said he was out of the woods, they started the game an hour late. But
March 30th.
But that was still played in the Philadelphia Spectrum.
Right.
And it kept getting more enormous. Even then, I bet you didn't have more than 160 or 70 Division I colleges, but every little bowdown college in North Carolina now is a Division I school.
The only answer I could come up with is that America has an insatiable appetite for festivity.
Yeah, that's true.
You
that's
know,
true.
This,
boy,
this
by
becomes
the way,
three weekends of festivity.
Having flown into having picked someone up at the Twin Cities Airport today, not today, this week, it's going to be a real, when our guests from around the land start arriving and go down to pick up their bags and find out that half of the doors that you would come out and when people picked you up are
right.
closed because of construction.
That's right.
It was a madhouse Wednesday night. What's it going to be like next Wednesday?
That's a good question.
More of a madhouse.
Yes. And hey. I think what you're going to do is... We'll basically, if you're not a guest for the Final Four, they're going to treat you like the dirt on their shoes out there. All those volunteers will be pushing you out of the way to get the bags for some basketball coach from Guilford College or something.
You know what I thought yesterday was as heartening as Barrios' performance? Which
2 hours and 18 minutes.
Well, it's that too, but Buxton's double.
Yes, yeah. I tell you, it's a different... Chip on his shoulder, Buxton. The Twins, when they didn't call him back last year, agitated him. I don't think they knew. They were just doing it on the outside chance he became a player so he wouldn't have a service time as far as becoming a free agent 4 years from now. But they managed to irritate him to the point that he basically is saying the hell with everybody. He sees the ball. He takes a hack. He's not having 25 different guys telling him what to do as a hitter. He's just kind of, if he strikes out, fine. But he's being very, There's a better word than aggressive. There's a word that, like, defiant almost. Okay, I'm going to hit like I used to hit. I don't need any advice from you. Mm-hmm. And if you throw me a first pitch fastball, I'm going to hit it. And because he's been defensive as a hitter during his whole time in the big leagues, and he's finally now offensive as a hitter, and maybe that'll serve him well.
Pat, that's what I was going to say, because I didn't get to watch him much this spring, but when I was watching him yesterday, he didn't look as intimidated in the batter's box as he has in years past.
I think it's his walk-up song. He's got a new walk-up song, a fresh
Pat, I had a tirade. I had a tirade earlier today because the Pioneer Press today printed the walk-up songs for the entire lineup, and I said, I hope they lose 161 games.
Yeah, but it's not their fault.
Who's the hell it is? Do you think Joe DiMaggio needed a walk-up song?
No, it's not their fault. The Pioneer Press printed them. It's just a sad commentary on society that anybody gives a damn what somebody's walk-up song is.
Well, plus, how long are we away from the players on first saying, I ain't going to second until I hear a song?
Somebody like Go-Go, yeah. You know?
You want me to steal? You better play La Cucaracha.
Mm-hmm. Well, they got something that they play down in Fort Myers. It's apparently a repetitive sound out of a Christian song.
What the hell is that?
And it goes, and it just repeats itself and repeats itself to the point that I'm going down there and issuing some unchristian comments saying, turn that bleeping thing off. You're driving everybody nuts.
God, it just drives me crazy. Yeah. It just
bring back the organ player. Bring back Willie Peterson on the magic organ.
Yeah. Willie Mays didn't need a damn walk-up song.
No, he didn't. Yeah. That's right.
But we did.
Well, as you said yesterday, this game used to be an art, man. Now it's a science.
Yeah, it is. But yesterday it was flying, man.
Yeah.
Seventh inning stretch, 87 minutes.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you go 1-2-3 every inning.
Yes, that's right. Well, the Twins threw four innings, I believe. He'd thrown Kluber throwing 24 pitches or something like that.
What was the excuse for not letting him complete the game?
Barrios?
Yeah.
Well, he was 97, was it? 97. Yeah. Yeah, they're
it's
not
his first start of the year.
They're not going to let him do it. They would have let him if he would have gotten. If he would have gotten the third guy, they would have let him go eight. But they weren't on March 28th, mm-hmm. Joe. Mm-hmm. They are not going to let a guy throw over 100 pitches. So.
Well, way too premature to be terribly optimistic, but boy, they looked terribly competent, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I had as much fun watching Barrios as the next guy, but this Cleveland lineup is last place. If without their pitching, that's a last place lineup they're playing right now. Now they're going to get Lindor back, and they're going to, you know, maybe get Carlos Gonzalez in the lineup, and they'll be better. But the lineup they had on the field yesterday, take away the starting pitching, which is fantastic, is a last place lineup. That was a brutal.
Well, they're missing, their best two hitters right now, Lindor and
yeah,
Ramirez.
Yeah, and they, you know, the owner, being an idiot he was, didn't, you know, let a bunch of guys go when this, as we've talked about, this is basically their last go-round with Kluber and Bauer and those guys, and yet they're not going to take their shot because the guy didn't want to keep his team together. So, Anywho, but yeah, it was a lot of fantastic pitching yesterday, which you get on opening day, you know,
I mean, right?
Because that's when you get the
two aces.
I would have liked the men in Washington yesterday for Scherzer and DeGrom.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, what was it? They had 26 strikeouts in the game, I think. So some fastballs going in. Yeah, but it was a nice day, and people very worried about the backup at the gates. We wanted our puffy jackets yesterday,
God.
Joe. The mob. I went down there at noon, 3 hours before the game started. I got downtown a little before noon. All the ramps were full. Everything was so full. I had to turn around, drive back to Golden Valley, and get Mrs. Ricey to drive me back down and drop me off.
I'll be damned.
It was so chaotic.
I took the choo-choo over there, Patrick, and it took about 40 minutes just from here to get over there because it was every train car was packed.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how many people paid.
Well, I did. I paid.
Yeah. That's a GL rule, Pat. We pay when we get on the train.
I drove the train downtown from the airport the other day, and there was a young woman got in with a baby, and I looked over and I said, "Did that kid pay?"
I don't like the Wild's chances to make the playoffs, Pat. And even if they do, I don't like their chances.
It's official.
So. Oh, that's right. That's right. They're at Vegas.
I'm not sure it's official, but it might as well be. I mean, Colorado has had a terribly tough schedule, and yet they've
4 points ahead
up and won some games. And if the Wild loses tonight, they got no shot.
No, I agree.
But we've owned the Knights though at home during the regular season. Yeah.
They conceded, however. This team conceded basically when they made a couple of those trades. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they were when they make those trades, they were planning not to make the playoffs. So.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Before we let Patrick go, we should let him know that in our research for walk-up songs, that we did learn that your pretty boy, Dennis Eckersley, had Take Me Home Tonight by Eddie Money was his walk-up song. Yeah.
I'd have a big hit by Whoopi John Wilfart. That's what I have. I'm not sure which one, but some good. How about a nice polka song to come up? That'd agitate.
I don't want her. You can have her. She's too fat for me.
Yeah, they might not go for
that. Should be Willens Ostadio's walk-up song.
Yeah, that could be. I think he's lost a few, though. I'm worried about him, man.
He looks sleek, doesn't he? He looks much more sleek.
I know. We told him to go back to Venezuela, and whatever you do, don't lose any weight. But he gained some. So.
Can we
he
get
had the biggest hand of anybody introduced before the
Yes,
game.
He did.
Can we get a full weather report of the outside at your Golden Valley estate?
It's a nice and sunny day here today. Blue sky. It's a fine day. I don't know what all you people were complaining about the winter. I got home. There's no snow on the ground. It's 60 degrees. What the hell?
It just isn't the same, though, is it, as down south?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm glad to be home.
All right. All right. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks, Patrick. Patrick James, Stephen Ricey chiming in. You got anything to say here, big boy?
Yeah, I do. The weather's getting better, and that means the bikes are going to come out. Get a hold of DennisKirk.com, Minnesota's own DennisKirk.com. More than 160,000 products in stock for you and your bike. Doesn't make any difference what kind of bike you ride. They'll take care of you. They have it. Free shipping on orders over $89. DennisKirk.com is the best place to get your stuff.
Basketball, basketball, basketball madness. This is Patrick Ricey for the Canopy Group. Let the Canopy Group help you with your brackets for your home and auto insurance program. If you rely on State Farm, Farmers, or Liberty Mutual, remember, they only have one team in their bracket. We have 16 in ours. We guarantee a winner for the best coverage at the best price. The Canopy Group has outsmarted the insurance bracketologist. Every month is madness for the Canopy Group as they continue to comb the insurance marketplace for their clients. We can work on your home and auto insurance program while you pick up the remote and channel surf all of your basketball options. Visit thecanopygroup.com. Or let the Canopy Group help you by calling 800-967-3389. Let the Canopy Group put their Sweet 16 to work for you. 800-967-3389.
The best lawn on the block is a click away. ProfessionalTurf.com. Let one of the ProfessionalTurf.com lawn care technicians stop out and analyze your lawn, and then create a 3-to-5-step program that will keep your lawn free of weeds, crabgrass, and dandelions all season long. All you have to do? Water and mow. It's that simple. They're locally owned, ProfessionalTurf.com. They've been serving us here in the Twin Cities since 1982. Wow. The best lawn on the block? It's a click away. ProfessionalTurf.com.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Soucheray.
Windmilling alert! Windmilling alert! Windmilling alert! French farmers say their cattle are dying from electricity generated by wind turbines and solar panels. Okay. What did socialists use for light before candles?
What did socialists use for light before candles?
For illumination before candles.
What?
Electricity. Cattle farmers in France say their stock are dying off from exposure to electricity generated by nearby wind turbines and solar panels, blaming lethal levels of volts through the ground and water sources for their losses. When a number of cattlemen in Côte d'Amour, Brittany, how do you say that, Rook?
Côte d'Amour.
Côte d'Amour?
Côte d'Amour.
Côte d'Amour. Brittany noticed unexplained weight loss and death occurring in their herds. Veterinarians could not offer explanations, so the farmers ran tests on their land and determined that electrical currents from nearby wind turbines and solar panels were exposing their cows to energy levels three times the accepted threshold for animals. This has been reported in the British paper, The Daily Mail.
They couldn't even complain.
Local farmer Patrick Le Neche claims the mysterious deaths began after the installation of new photovoltaic solar panels near his land. He told French radio station Europe 1, there's a lot of direct current coming into the earth. When we see all the animals die, it is untenable. Well, no kidding. I come from French farmers.
What... Again, your family name. You went way back to research the beautiful Souchere name, which sounds, it flows freely. What does it literally mean?
Land cleared of stumps.
Ah, yes. Why not? It paints a great picture.
And the name they wiped off was Champion. Champion.
Champion?
Well, he got a little trouble.
Switched up the name.
A couple of grandfathers ago got in a little trouble. And. Had to leave the country under an assumed name.
So, rather briskly, huh?
But I went with my uncle and some cousins. We found the farmstead.
Wait, what was the previous last name you said?
Champion.
I think that's Champion. French for drives around closed signs.
Right, drives around road closed sign.
Boy,
sir.
You nailed me there, didn't you?
It was reluctant, but I just in my mind's eye saw
he gave me the look, the... I got him.
Yeah, hang on. Just wait for this one. Let me get the next.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Yep. It's kind of interesting.
Yep.
Do you think that it's your job to make me look bad?
It wasn't.
You couldn't resist.
I wasn't trying to make you look.
Well, you did.
No, here's what I was going more for the humor than I was the direct attack.
Some herds in Côte d'Amour have dwindled by the hundreds in recent years, allegedly because of electricity emitted by antennas, transformers, and turbines. Farmers from nearby PAYS. Would be what?
PAYS.
DE. Then a new word, DE.
Yeah.
New word, LA. And then LOIR. I know that's lore.
LOIR.
Yep. Because there's the lore.
Pays de la lore.
Pays de la lore.
Pays de la lore.
Have also reported losses of animals near wind turbines. And a farmer from Val de Sion in Rhône blamed electrical currents for harming the health and behavior of his stock 2 years ago. The Val de Sion farmer reportedly told Le Progrès, when there are power spikes, some cows gather in one corner, others start to limp. Calves that felt good the day before die.
Jeez.
Well, you know.
That's legit. That's not.
But you gotta have solar, Matt, and wind.
Solar, wind.
Because anything else would destroy them.
Right, right. You need to keep those coffee shops going downtown.
The cattle are much more vulnerable to electrical currents than people. This is according to Thibault Bouchut of France's Sanitary Defense Group reported. Mm. The cattle are much more vulnerable to electrical currents than people, saying the human body has an electrical resistance of 1,500 ohms, while the cows only 500 ohms, not to mention that they are not separated from the ground by rubber soles. Breeders are not always aware of electrical disturbances, Bouchut continued. And sometimes the seemingly unexplained problems they face discourage them, even if they are competent. Farms close down because of that. So wind turbines and solar panels, according to the farmers, are wiping out their herds. Jeez. Because the cows can't withstand that electronic intrusion into their bodies.
I had no idea. Look, and they can't do anything. You know, I'm not joking, like they can speak and complain, but they just...
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me the cows can't speak?
No. I'm just, well, my point is they can't.
I thought they would go to the farmer and say, Monsieur.
With their little hoof knocking on the door.
I'm having a real electrical problem here.
Or what, some type of sign? You know, could they have gotten in a formation?
Right. I mean, they make the chicken signs for
Far Side
Chick-fil-A.
Cartoon.
Right, right.
It's a Far Side
Master,
cartoon.
Help. You help, know, help. The backwards S.
Help us.
Farmer, help us, or family in crisis.
You know, it just leads you to... remind yourself, be careful what you wish for. I suppose it all sounds great if you think you can get all your power you want from solar and wind, but it has repercussions.
Wind power is not efficient. We learned that from the center of the American experiment.
That's right.
Yep. It's just, it's not cost effective and it doesn't work. And if there's no wind, what was the one story we learned about? They had to force some type of movement of air in order to make those, because they were so idle. So I don't remember where
it
was.
Call it. Say, by the end of this weekend, you have the final four teams.
That's
is that
right.
Correct? Yep. And they'll be arriving in Minneapolis next week.
You would think Wednesday, around Tuesday, Wednesday.
How are you?
Two games Saturday and a game Monday night.
That's right.
How are you personally in the Succi family challenge?
Last.
What about your extremely wealthy wife? How does she?
Well, she obviously paid consultants. She has enough money
to
pay consultants.
Yeah, right. You didn't. You don't have the money, so she has the money. She paid all the consultants.
She's got 15 of the 16 teams playing this weekend.
She's probably going to win.
I don't know.
She's probably. Is
there a
little
kitty? She's got Gonzaga to win it.
Is there a little kitty there? You had to pony up a little mythical.
It's match called six, it's called the fried chicken challenge. I don't know what's at stake.
Oh, probably a wonderful meal.
Probably
sounds like. Whoever loses has got to cook the meal.
Well, I they won't have me cook. You know that won't take place.
Because it would be chicken that would be blackened. It would be, look like picking up a piece of tar, a piece of asphalt that's disfigured.
This is going to get cooked.
Yeah, you know, right. This
I'll
is not well done.
I'll tell you, I have a little trouble with the food. I made my own lunch today. And so I made the sandwich, a little half a sandwich, and some chips and my grapes, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to let you in here.
Please. Here I am.
Because I know you'll get a kick out of this. Because I had no idea what I'm about to tell you. So I put the grapes in a little Ziploc bag.
Easy.
Yeah, I could do that.
Capable.
Put the chips in a little Ziploc bag.
No, two for two.
And then I thought, I don't need to put a sandwich in a Ziploc bag. Just stick the thing in the bag. Oh, what the hell difference does it make? Yes, I didn't know bread dried out like that.
Yes! That's why you seal. I mean, you would have been better off with the grapes in the bag. Well, they probably would have been wet from the washing.
Right.
Wait a minute. Time out.
Yeah.
You eat lunch every day at 10:30. That's not a joke. I watch it happen.
Right. No, it's 11. It's 11.
What time did
11.
You make the sandwich?
Let's correct this. It was 11.
11 o'clock.
I made it at 9:30.
And it dried out that quickly?
Well, it was not inedible.
But it was just, it was, I know what you're saying. It would had a... Not a
it
crispy.
The bread lost its moisture.
Its softness. It lost its softness.
Yeah.
I
might as well have been eating a sheetrock sandwich.
Can I make you a hero for this weekend?
Sure.
Since you.
No, I'm not doing a damn thing.
No.
I might cook up a bratfest with some Grundhoffer brats.
Oh, boy. I think you should. I'm going to be doing that this weekend as well. But I'm going to give you an out. Because you stink so bad with this NCAA tourney, I want you to grab a 12 by 12 pan or 8 by 8 pan, cake pan. On the base, listen to me, on the base, Philadelphia cream cheese on the bottom.
Yep. Here we go.
Chili without beans, pour that over the cream cheese, and then sprinkle some cheese, shredded cheese, and put it in the microwave until it melts. Buy some Fritos, and you got a dip. You've made a dip, an appetizer for your NCAA party. It'll take you 2 minutes.
Yeah. Not a chance
in hell.
You're
not going to do that, are you?
Not a chance in hell.
Damn it. I try, people. I try. I really do. Hey, if you want to be entertained, go to GarageLogic.com as we did
New
earlier.
New Holcomb cartoon.
Yes, it's and it is spot on
once again.
Spot on.
At my expense.
Expense. It's just your turn.
He loves giving me the needle.
It's your turn.
No, he's done it before.
Well, as you're filling out, or you filled out, as you're reviewing your 64-team NCAA bracket. Check out some of the podcasts that we have in the can because there's a whole bunch, and we will entertain you whether you're in the car or sitting in your home or maybe you're out in the back porch having a cold one. GarageLogic.com. Rate us on Apple iTunes. We'd love to get your feedback, good, bad, or indifferent.
I don't want any indifferent ones.
You want?
Well,
you want
all good.
You can't handle the truth. All right, here we go.
Get rid of those walk-up songs.
We're gonna look for a walk-up song for Joe on the next podcast. This was Podcast 127. We'll catch you next time. Garage Logic podcast version.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data
improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.